Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Well, happy 2019. Hashtag New Year, New Me. How's it all going? How's the New Year's resolutions going? Is there anyone else who wants to join F45 with me to work on next year's summer body? Or maybe start a keto diet or something like that? It's funny. I guess one thing that I've seen for sure in 2019 is that Crocs are in. Crocs are back. Do I get an amen? Do I get to preach it? And our youth are leading the way in the Croc revolution. I think it's because of their fearless leaders. Okay, Pastor Dylan donned the Crocs last year at the end of his Spartan race. And I think that was like a prophetic act, man. And people are just following. But yeah, Crocs are on sale. And this message is sponsored by Crocs. So help me out and keep my endorsements coming. Now, I want to start tonight with a story. It's a story I heard recently. A story that I was like, oh, whoa, I'd never heard of that. But it's about a famous flight in history. It's about a flight, Korean Airlines Flight 007. And it's a plane that was meant to take off from JFK Airport in New York all the way to Seoul, Korea, with a stopover in Anchorage, Alaska, where it was going to refuel. And this was back in the 80s, back in September of 1983. And this flight, you know, it took off. And all was well. They managed to have their coordinates. They knew where they were heading. It was a routine flight. And they touched down in Anchorage and they refueled. But after they took off the next time, the pilot, he flicked the plane into autopilot, which again was kind of common practice at the time on the journey. But this time the autopilot, without them knowing, actually caused their coordinates to deviate ever so slightly. It was off by like half a degree or something so small like this. And what it did was it caused the plane to deviate, but without them realizing it, it wasn't significant enough. And what happened over the next 5.5 hours is that the plane deviated so much that it ended up being in Russian airspace, which at the time of conflict with the Cold War was prohibited airspace. It had like just come inside the border. Now, typically, there was a radar equipment that was used on the ground to be able to identify civilian aircrafts, but this radar was malfunctioning as well at this time. And long story short, the sad news is that Flight 007 was shot down by the Russians, and all 269 passengers who were on board were killed. It's one of those unbelievable stories. You know, people were just shocked all around the world when they found out about it, that out of everything, it was this autopilot. Autopilot was switched on and it took them ever so slightly off course. And for them, unfortunately, it resulted in tragic circumstances and they lost their lives. And I was thinking about this story and I felt like it carries a reminder and a message for us here tonight. And that message is, don't ever fly with budget airlines. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. There's a message that we can take away for our faith. See, we can be just slightly off course, right? The coordinates can be just slightly wrong. We can be on autopilot. We can be comfortable. We can think we know where we're headed. But if we're off course for long enough, where we end up can be tragic for us. Where we end up can be a place where everyone loses out. And so I want to talk tonight about not forgetting where we're headed. Talk about not forgetting who we are as followers of Jesus and what our coordinates are. I want to talk about going back to the start, back to the beginning, aligning ourselves with the one that we follow. And there's no better time for us to do this than now, the first 5 o'clock service of 2019. God has so much in store for us. We're so pumped. We're so excited. But it's time that we've got to go back to the beginning, reset, make sure we're on course. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you'd like to open up to Matthew 10. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. It's kind of like the first instructions we see as Jesus sends out his disciples, and it applies for you and me. It says, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Then it goes on to kind of say their names, but we'll save you that. And if you jump down to verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was sending them to the Jews first and the Gentiles later. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, so give without pay. And I love this passage. It's one of my kind of life passages because for me, it's like the OG. You know, it takes us back. It reorients us to what we're about as one who represents Jesus to this world. You know, Jesus calls his disciples, which at the time were ordinary people like you and me. And these were 12 young guys. And he calls them over and the Bible shows us that he gives them something. He gives them authority. Authority over what? Authority over unclean spirits to go cast them out, and authority to heal every disease and every affliction. And so he says, so go and proclaim as you go, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal sick people, raise dead people, cleanse those who have leprosy, cast demons out. You received all this without paying, so give without pay. It sounds epic. It sounds crazy. It sounds so bold, but at the same time, he's super clear about it. He's like, this is what it's about, guys. This is what I'm sending you. He's come a long way, you know, to give us these instructions. And so it's exactly what his disciples say. Man, we're taking you seriously. This is what we're going to do. And did you know? Okay, breaking news. Are you ready for it? It's breaking news. You and I are disciples of Jesus. Let's close in prayer. No, seriously, you and I are disciples of Jesus. We're his followers. The moment that you and I said yes, the moment we said, hey, we receive everything you've given us. We receive forgiveness of sins. We receive your grace. We receive your mercy. We receive your blessing. As we said that, we said yes to being his follower, following in his footsteps. Now, the world obviously refers to this as being Christian, and they have their own label and understanding of what that is. But Jesus would say, hey, you're my follower, you're my disciple, you're mine, you're one of my crew. And so as a disciple, I want you to picture yourself in this story. I want you to picture right there in that moment. So you've said, Jesus, I want to follow you. You've said, I want you to be the Lord of my life. And then he comes to you. He looks at you and he says, I'm giving you something. And you're like, what is it? And he says, I'm giving you authority. And you're like, authority? Okay, I haven't had this before. What's the authority for? He says, it's over unclean spirits. It's to go and to cast out demons and to heal those that are sick, to heal those that are broken, to touch lepers and see them be made well, to raise people that have been dead. And that freely is as you've received what I'm giving you now freely, like give it away. Were you able to picture that? To picture Jesus saying those things to you. We see the same when Jesus sends out the 72 disciples. It was same instructions, same coordinates. Onto the early church as it grows. The agenda, the mission, it didn't change. It was the same direction. And in Luke 10, Jesus says, as he's speaking to his followers, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray earnestly for the Lord to send laborers into this harvest. The agenda stayed the same, but he said, we need more people. We need more laborers, more people on board with this. And we know the theme, of course, continues in our Great Commission. Great commission to us in Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, and Jesus came to them and said, all authority, there's that word again, okay? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Have you ever thought about it that you and I sitting here today are those disciples of all nations that Jesus was talking about? That you and me in this room, you know, if they were to pen the Gospels today, it would be like, and Jesus called the 2.4 billion to himself and said, you know, go, do these things that are just impossible, these things that are crazy. But we're his disciples. We're his followers. Say, I'm his disciple. Say it again, I'm his disciple. That wasn't too cultish, was it? That's all right. I'm his disciple. A disciple is defined as a personal follower of a teacher. But it's interesting that Wikipedia, of all places, says a disciple refers to this, a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. Wiki's on point for once, right? We need to remember that this is who we are. This is you and me. We can't forget who we represent and whose name we bear. We can't forget who we're about, what sitting here in this church really means when we boil it down, that we're following our master, we're following in his steps. Because it's just so easy to be on autopilot. We come to church every Sunday, we go to a life group, maybe go to youth, maybe we set some stuff up for events, we do community, and there's nothing wrong with these things. They're fantastic. They're awesome to be a part of. They make a difference. But they're not meant to be in place of the other things. They're not meant to be greater than the other things. Because if we go back to the original coordinates, we can't move on because the instructions haven't changed yet, okay? He hasn't changed goals yet. He's still here to seek and save the lost, as it says in Luke 19:10. He came not for the righteous, but for sinners. He came not for the healthy, but for the sick. And so when he called his disciples, and he sent them out to display his nature, his ways to the world, his strategy was this: I'm giving you authority. So what is authority? Authority is having access. Authority is having power. It's like having access with an access card, like PayWave attached to an account. We get to access the account that it belongs to and what's involved in that account and what's in there. And the thing that he says he's given us is authority. Authority to access things of his domain. Things that we shouldn't actually have access to. Things that we can't in and of ourselves do or conjure up or be about. But he says, you know what? I'm giving it to you. I'm imparting it to you right now. And this authority, what's it over? What's it for? Is it authority to do A or do B or do C or do what we would like to do? It says this authority is over unclean spirits. It's supernatural. So that you, the disciples, you, even when Jesus has risen, even when he's gone away, that you, his disciples, have the power over darkness, have the power over sickness, that we actually have something tangible. And we're able to say, the kingdom of heaven has come near to you. These are the signs of it. This is what it looks like. It's tangible. It's a reality. But do we see these kinds of things in our lives? Do we see them? Or does this seem like a distant reality for us? Like, I don't know what that's about. Well, that stuff is only for kind of like the pastors. Like Pastor Eric, he deals with like demons and stuff. Whereas me, like, I don't really know how or what to do there, so I'm just going to, like, get an appointment for Pastor Eric, and he can have fun over there. He seems to be good at that. You know? Do we see these things in our lives? And, you know, we live in such a world of comparison, right? Through a world of Instagram, and I think one of the things that we should, I think comparison's terrible, but I think one of the things that we should compare ourselves to is the image of what it looks like to follow Christ. The image of what it looks like to follow Jesus and to go checklist, Am I doing these things? Are these things popping up on my radar? Not to get ashamed of that, or not to feel guilty, not to be embarrassed about that, but just like to go, oh, I need to realign. Like my coordinates are off here. Maybe I've been on autopilot and I'm just like deviating over here towards the things that are like super fun all the time. But I just need to come back and just align myself with what it is I said yes to, what I laid down my life to. And so, are we about these things? Because they're things that Jesus and his followers have always been about. They've never deviated. Are we on board? Do we box them over here? Do we say, oh, that's for that demographic, or that's for those type of people, that's for that style of church? This past week, I've been like, Lord, seriously, wake me up. Seriously, wake me up. Like, shake me around. Do whatever you have to do, because it's been a while. It's been a while since I've gone out after these things. It's been a while, you know, maybe I got a bit hyped up around a conference last year, and then I was like, yo, you know, and then now here I am, just getting back to ordinary living where all these other things have taken place. And it's like, I think Jesus is looking behind and he's like, whoa, Nick, you're a long way back there, buddy. Like, you're not walking in my steps right now. I want to be about the things that he's so passionate about. Because have you ever thought about this? Do you know that he could have chosen any strategy, right? He's the creator of all things. He's pretty darn creative. He could have chosen anything to say to his disciples. He could have said, hey, let's do this over here. It's like, sweet. Or let's do this over here. But what's the one thing that he chooses? What's the thing that he chooses to go after and to say, do these things? He wants to give us authority. And obviously these things matter to him. These were the things that the disciples rocked up with in their brochure and said, this is the kingdom. This is what this kingdom looks like coming into contact with your kingdom right now. If we read through scripture, we see that there's just these stories after story after story of ordinary, seemingly unqualified people like you and like me who were known as the disciples, and things people would say about them. Wow, man, they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. His authority is given so that we can act on his behalf. We can act on his behalf. We can represent him to this world so that we look like him. You know, in Acts 4:13, it says this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They drew the link. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. And over time, I think, church, that we've let ourselves deviate from these things. I think our own autopilot has taken us towards independence and self-reliance and comfort. And without realizing it, and without any blame, it's no one's fault. It just is that we're not really about that which once set us apart to the world. You know, I was thinking, if I was to ask all the non-Christians that I talk to throughout the week and that I rub shoulders with, even my school friends, the guys at the dog park, you know, what would they say about me? What is the difference in my life? Is it as different as what it was when these guys went into villages and things went down, you know? And it's maybe because these things are not our preferences. Maybe we're like, demons? Ew. Yuck. No thanks. Healing? I tried that a few times. Didn't work. That wasn't a fun conversation to have at the end with that person. It was awkward. Maybe you've been paid out for being too spiritual. You know, that stuff's just weird. That stuff's strange. It isn't fun, you know, to be paid out or to be in the minority. We're in a generation of likes and bulk likes. But if we don't go after this stuff, if this stuff doesn't come out of us, if this stuff isn't on display in what we say is the kingdom that we're a part of, the domain, what happens is we end up settling for a theology of authority without the practice of it. We settle for a theology of authority without the practice and demonstration of it. And we tend to, you know, focus on these other things, these things that we can manage. And we put that other stuff to the side. We drop the things that seem impossible and only go after what we can achieve in and of ourselves. So we're like, you know, Jesus was kind. I can relate to that. Jesus had morals. Jesus avoided sin. Jesus had these thoughts on this topic. These are the things that we tend to gravitate to because they're comfortable for us. They kind of mesh with us a bit better. And yeah, these things, they're all in the book. They're all useful. They all make a difference. But so much has overshadowed the things that Jesus gave to us in the beginning. He didn't give us this authority to just be pushed to the side. And so when we settle for a theology of authority without the practice, we run the risk of just becoming another shade of off-white. Another shade of off-white. Man, there are so many shades of off-white. We were painting this piano the other week. There are so many shades of off-white. It's so hard to tell the difference as to what is what. We're another belief system. Another belief system without a manifest reality. You know, which belief system in this world has a manifest reality attached to it that we can see that is undeniable, a power that's on display? These are the signs of the kingdom that were always meant to belong to us, where light overcomes darkness, where death is defeated, where there is actually power in the name of Jesus. That's not just a song. There is actually power in the name of Jesus. His kingdom is not of talk, but of power, as it says in 1 Corinthians 4. And so when the disciples showed up to people, they didn't say, people of this city, people of this area, look at our morals. Look at our good behavior. Look at how kind we are. They didn't say these things. And then they didn't even go on to say, now listen. If a donkey was pulling a cart, that cart was full of corn, and that corn fell over on you and killed you tonight, do you know where you would go? Do you know where you would be? Can you be sure? Can you be sure? Can you quick sign this spiritual insurance package? Sign it. It's going to kick into effect when you die. But in the meantime, do your best to avoid sin. Do your best to live a morally good life. This was not the message that came and crashed in on people, that people said, I'm going to leave everything behind and I'm going to follow after this. I'm going to chase this. This isn't what the world was presented with when Jesus came onto the scene. It's what was presented with for thousands of years before that, when he came on the scene to clear things up, when he came on the scene to kind of have impact. This is what he brought with him. And then he gave his disciples so much power, so much authority. And he's been doing it, and he's been doing it, and he's still doing it today. You have so much power on the inside of you. It's crazy. You have so much authority. They came with an authority that no one had seen before. They were like, people were like, wait, you mean that like this world is spiritual? Wow, that's weird. Like, you speak of a freedom. You're coming to pray against the sickness that's in my body. You're coming to redeem these things in me that are broken. People like were gobsmacked by that. They couldn't understand it, but it's so powerful. And you know the ones who really hated all of this? They were the religious leaders. They didn't possess the power. They didn't possess, they didn't carry it. They could only emphasize the law. They could only emphasize and keep watch on the rules. But they didn't have power. And so when this power starts breaking out, they didn't understand it. So they rejected it. And they ended up killing Jesus Christ. They murdered Jesus Christ. They thought that that was the right thing to do. It was all because he and his followers carried something they didn't have a grid for. They didn't understand it. So they reacted out of that. And man, they got it wrong. And I know that as disciples of Jesus for us, and like I said earlier, Jesus, he taught us so many things. He taught us practical things. He taught us how to treat people that was different. He taught us how to care for people, who to stand up for. He brings truth into so many areas of our lives. He offers wisdom, which is so countercultural, wisdom, which is so beneficial. And these things, they're all incredible. But we seem to be okay with partnering with all these things and aligning with these things, being about these things, but we're not okay with the other stuff. We've got to somewhat be dissatisfied and challenged by the gap that exists in our lives if we're not seeing the other things that he's instructed us to in the beginning, those original coordinates, those things that we're to be about. I know it's hard to picture in 2019 what that looks like. It might seem weird. But we have to be about these things. You know, I'm always super interested in the things that frustrated Jesus, the things that he actually got peeved about. I'm like, well, man, Jesus is annoyed. This is new. And the two things that I found that he was most annoyed with was the image and the messaging of the religious leaders. But then secondly, it was when his disciples, his own followers, lacked the faith and conviction of the realities he said were always theirs. You know, there's the story in Matthew 17, a man brings a demon-possessed boy to the disciples, and this guy ends up going to Jesus after and saying they couldn't heal him. And Jesus gets frustrated and replies, you know, you unbelieving generation, bring the boy to me. It's like he had one job, guys, just one job. Get that demon out of there. Show that light is stronger than darkness. But when was the last time that we as his disciples on the earth saw a demon come out of someone? When was the last time we prayed for a demon to come out of someone? And I think we need to realize that demons are at play in this world. They're super subtle at times. They're under the surface. But how many of us have experienced torment? How many of us have experienced lies? Voices telling us we're not good enough. Addictions pulling us back into things. We've got to see these things at a spiritual level. We can't just see them as I don't know what this thing is. You know, there's something behind that. Anything that's not of the kingdom of light is of the kingdom of darkness. If it's not of God, who's it from? And what's our response to it? We need to open our spiritual eyes up. Open our spiritual eyes and see that the demonic is at play. That it is involved, that there is still a battle going on, that we still get affected. But the amazing thing is that we have authority, we have victory, we have power, and at the name of Jesus, these demons flee. If we're not seeing these things anymore, we need to get hungry for them. We need to not be indifferent to them. We need to chase them. And I hope you can just hear my heart in this. I'm not trying to throw stones tonight. I'm not trying to have a go. Okay, I wrestle with this stuff all the time. I remember when I prayed for a guy and it was just awkward, you know. I was fumbling my words out. I was trying to pray for his family and for an illness. And I'm there praying and this guy's not a believer. And I'm like fumbling over my words. And I'm like, man, this is awkward. But just because it's awkward, it's what we've been called to. And I know the disappointment when you don't see the outcome. I lost my best friend, you know, or one of my really good friends through school. Lost him to a horrible illness, you know, and I was praying for him and we were believing for healing. I know the disappointment. I know how hard the conversations are afterwards, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be about them. It doesn't. He didn't say to us, outcome attached. He said, just be about these things. Go do these things. Go step out and represent me in these ways. We represent him when we're about the same things as him. We represent him when we're about the same things as him, not just when the outcome happens that we want. That's not what qualifies it, that we finally represented him, because A to B to C is all equaled and all lined up. We represent him because we have a different agenda. Like we see somebody who's sick and we're like, well, I'm part of this kingdom, I'm gonna pray. We see someone who's tormented in depression, we say, hey, do you mind if I just pray? Do you mind if I pray against, like, I'm a Christian and I believe that like when depression comes on us and when anxiety and when these dark and heavy things come on us, I believe that is the enemy, the one who comes to steal, kill and destroy. Would you mind if I prayed against that right now? Would you mind if I tell that thing to get off your life? Like, this is what Christianity looks like. But does it happen? Like, it's not normal for me, but it should be. It should be normal. It should be my response. I want to represent my master. I want to represent what he would do. You know, going back to what would Jesus do in this situation is not about what flavor sushi he wants to eat. Okay? What would Jesus do in this situation? There is a person who he loves right now. And they're either under the influence of the spirit of darkness or the kingdom of light. And if I don't go to them and raise this, what's going to happen? Am I just throwing that back on God? God, you're sovereign. You do what you want. Or he's like, you're my plan. You're my disciples. I've given you authority. I've given you access. Man alive, wait till you see what happens. Imagine what it would be like if we saw that. If you saw that through your hands, through your words. If you saw people being delivered and set free. What it says about in the Bible coming to pass. You know, I was in Melbourne a few weeks ago at Awakening Melbourne at Marvel Stadium. And there was a guy there by the name of Todd White. Some of you might have seen him on YouTube. Okay, he's actually a guy who used to come from Dylan's previous church, and he was nicknamed the Walmart guy because he would kind of come in with these stories. He was a recovering drug addict who got saved and who started reading the Bible, and he was like, man, okay, I got my instructions, I got my original coordinates. Boom, here I go in Walmart. Hey, you're limping. Are you okay? Like, you look like you're in pain. Like, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I'm following him. Can I pray for you? And he would like come back with these stories and testimonies. And it was a bit intimidating because people are like, this seems almost too simple and too weird. Like, shouldn't you be more qualified? Like, I mean, the guy would rock up and a guest speaker would get up and do a prayer line in a conference. And Todd would just come and join the prayer line. He'd just be up there. He'd be like, I'm here to pray. Like, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? I'm supposed to heal the sick, supposed to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, get people saved, you know, cast out demons, you know, here I am. And this guy, he was speaking down at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne, and he did an altar call, and you know, he was talking about salvation, did this altar call. It was amazing. I've never seen it. Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds running from like the top tier of Marvel Stadium just to get to the altar. Like running, like falling on their faces, crying, weeping, at their need for Jesus, at their need for a savior. And Todd was talking about all these things in our world. He was talking about, you know, the pornography addicted world we live in, the lust that we struggle with, the depressive society we're in, all these things, money hungry, whatever. And he just went after them, and he just sort of said, in the name of Jesus, I command all demonic forces to get out right now. And what happened next was there was just these roars that started happening in different parts of the stadium. Okay, people were being set free. People were being delivered. People were crying. Some people were manifesting, all sorts of stuff. And the paramedics that were on site there at Marvel Stadium didn't know what to do. They were sort of starting to rush towards people, rushing there with their little pack with the defibrillator and stuff and their stretchers. And Todd says, no, 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 no. They don't need paramedics. No, 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 no. They're being set free right now. They're being released. And he says, just wait, just wait. And he keeps praying, and he casts them, and he binds, and he's looking at them, and he's saying, get out, get out, get out. He's calling things out, and he's saying, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. You will no longer torment this people. You will no longer torment that lady. You will no longer. And he's just saying these things. And then he asked for the Holy Spirit to come, and there was just peace. There was just peace. And he said, Holy Spirit, fill them. Fill them, replace what was there. Fill them, fill them, fill them, fill them up. You know, imagine that's like being emptied out of all the gunk that was in there that was controlling your life and tormenting you. And now all of a sudden there is this peace that's in you. And it's this freedom that is in you. And it's like, oh man, like you just feel it in the air. You're like, oh, this is good. But we would have never got to that point had we not embraced the ugliness and the awkwardness of going after something that is not always normal and easy and natural for us, right? It's supernatural to do that. But it was like the Bible again. I was like, oh my gosh, they took all those people, they baptized them at St. Kilda Beach. How amazing is that? You know, like believe and be baptized. These people had given their lives and they take them down there. Isn't that just like the Bible? Like, why is there a gap? Why is there a divide? Why does that shock us? You know, I'm sitting there and the Holy Spirit said to me, this is what normal Christianity looks like. This is what it was supposed to look like. Don't give in to your fear any longer. Don't give in to your fear just because you feel uncomfortable. When did you think that following Jesus was going to be comfortable? Where is that promised? Where? It's not promised anywhere. What is promised is that the Holy Spirit will be your comforter. So that means that there's going to be moments where you are so uncomfortable. You're probably feeling like you're going to vomit. You're feeling like you're sick. You're like, I don't know what to do. That's the moment where you need to go, God, I actually need you in this moment. I don't have a formula that's preloaded that I just go off. I actually have to rely on you in this moment and have a transaction from heaven to earth. This is what our faith looks like. This is what he's inviting us to. But you know, there are so many churches who have just said no. They say, no, we're not about that. It's too messy. No, we're not about that. We don't think that that reaches people anymore. We're coming up with our own plan over here. We're deviating off course and we're doing our own thing. And I just feel so strongly tonight, church, that Jesus is saying, come back to the original commandments. Come back to the original coordinates. Don't deviate off course. I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's strange. I know it's weird. I know it's going to take you to actually learn how to use the Holy Spirit, how to partner with the Holy Spirit, how to be with the Holy Spirit in a moment so that you can bring a transaction that sets someone free, that sets a captive free. But religion's not going to save our city. We will always see incremental growth. We will. Tell you what, God is so good. His presence, like the ripple effect of his presence and just having a church in an area, people will get saved. People will come in. But we on this house believe that we are called to change the city. We believe that God sunk $22 million into this house and resources to be able to change this city. You know, our city's sinking $600 million into the government building, and we're sinking $22 million here and saying, this is what we've got. These are our loaves and fishes, but we believe we're going to change the nation. We believe we're going to change the city. We have to be on board with this. Just because you're yet to see it in your life, don't not go after it. Don't not go after it. Go after it even more. Get hungry. Have something to come to church for. Man, God, I want your power. I want your spirit. I want these things. I don't want to see these people, you know, far out, man. We see so many youth and kids and families who are just struggling. Struggling, and all we can sometimes bring them is a belief system. And the belief system doesn't hold water to their experience. Okay, it doesn't change. It has to be a tangible reality. It can't just be words on paper. It has to have the presence, the supernatural presence of a living God in it as we pray, as we go, as we do these things. We have to go back. And so as we prepare tonight for communion, as we come around this meal that, again, so many people, they actually ran away when Jesus talked about this meal. Where he said, if you want a part of me, you're going to have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Ugh, gross. So thousands leave, they all walk away. And Jesus looks to his disciples, his followers. Again, put yourself in that scenario. He says, you guys going to leave as well? And they say, where else have we to go when you alone have words of eternal life? Where else have we to go? We're in this, man. We have said yes to you. We're your followers. And so tonight, as we come and we gather around this same meal, you know, of drinking his blood, of eating his flesh, man, we're taking part in the meal of Jesus. We're coming to eat at his table. As we do that tonight, I want us to just get real and reflect on a moment. Have we deviated? Have we deviated off course? Have we missed the things? Have we replaced the things that are uncomfortable with the things that we can do in our own strength when he wants to do the impossible in and through you?
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.